Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 5th of April, recording at 9:42 p.m. That's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Asia, the China markets were closed again today for, what is it, grave sweeping day. They'll reopen tomorrow, but Asian stock markets were quiet overall, as were European stock markets today. Not much going on in the Americas. The U.S. market sort of seesawed a little bit in a narrow range, closed mostly with slight losses, almost unchanged though. And Canada, a little higher, Brazil a little higher. Long-dated government bond prices started to reverse some recent firmness here today, and the U.S. 30-year long bond future is a point off the day's high and currently down 16/32. The U.S. dollar is mixed. It's a quiet day for the dollar. It was a good day for sterling, though, up to 162.95 against the greenback. And the euro is steady at 142.25. The big story of the day concerns precious metals. And some of us have been waiting a while for this, but gold finally followed silver in breaking out to the upside, and bullion is up $21.50 as I speak. It puts gold bullion at $14.55.50. Let me repeat that again, in case anybody has heart failure. It's $14.55.50. Now, silver again romped $39.25. We have palladium and platinum a little bit firmer. Platinum's at 1798 as I speak. Industrial metals were quiet, a little bit mixed. Crude oil slightly easier for WTI, but firmer for Brent, I think 121.60. And coffee a bit firmer. And cotton, having been weak early in the day, closed with an upside key day reversal. Okay. So what's going on here overall? Well, as far as stock markets are concerned, they have been very firm recently, recovering most, if not more, than they lost during the initial sell-off when we got that really sort of triple waterfall of events, the moderate spike in the price of crude oil due to the Arab uprisings and the loss of Libya's production. And then, of course, it was the Japan earthquake tsunami tragedy, and the very worrying situation at Fukushima, as far as the nuclear reactors there are concerned. So that really weighed on stock markets, as you know, during the first half of March, and then in the second half of March they started to come back, and that rally has carried on into this week. We're a little bit overbought in the short term, and these rallies have actually slowed. So even in the best of conditions, I would expect some sort of reaction and consolidation. But there's some good drivers behind equity prices overall, and those remain the fact that despite interest rate hikes in a number of the stronger economies, that interest rates are still negative, in other words, below the rates of inflation in those countries, and therefore monetary policy is still stimulative. I would add also, well, as we know, the QE2 is continuing, and at least until June, and when I really would expect it to stop, at least for a while. But Japan has been throwing plenty of money into the system here in response to its tragedy, and what we also have, I think, what equities are also benefiting from, is a further shift out of bond markets and into equities. Now, I think that's something that can run for quite a while, that story, because investors were very, very heavily overweight in fixed interest, particularly in the USA, and underweight in equities. Now, that shift out of bonds and back towards equities has been underway for a number of months now, but it could run for a good many more months, and that's a tailwind. So monetary policy is still very much a tailwind for equities. However, the Achilles heel, and as I said in my comment of the day, it's more than a heel, it's much bigger than that. It's two legs and a backside, if you don't mind, is the commodity market situation. Because commodity prices, well, as we know, they remain in a secular bull market. That doesn't mean they go up all the time. Indeed, they can be very volatile, inevitably get some very sharp setbacks. Not least during periods of recession, which we are not in right now. And if the actual demand for commodities, which remains very firm, led by China and other progressing higher growth economies, in addition to that, if we get an increase in speculative activity, well, that does cause problem for equities, particularly if that happens to hit crude oil. So the situation is delicately poised here, I feel, in the short term. And we also have quite a bit of firmness in the grain and bean complex, as you will recall. So the specter of commodity price inflation is very much there for all to see. And, you know, if commodities continue, prices continue to push higher in here over the short term, then, as I said yesterday, that will cause nerves to snap somewhat in stock markets. You know, I don't think it would cause a bear market. I don't think we'll get anything like enough of a move on the upside to cause that. But it could certainly check the short-term uptrends that we've seen against the background of a slightly overbought condition, and could lead to a bit further ranging overall. Conversely, if we got some respite on commodity price inflation, and actually as of mid-March, that is exactly what we had when the equity market rally started. So if we were to get crude oil to fall back several dollars, that would be good news. Also, if the grains were to fall back, that would be good news. Now, as far as crude is concerned, I don't think there's a overwhelming case for a price rise here right now, in addition to what we've already seen. Yes, Libya's production is down, and with Saudi Arabia being the marginal supplier or the swing supplier, that has created a tighter condition. So there's no room for anything to go wrong, and that's what people are betting on. And also, growth has been picking up. Not least in the USA after a very long lag. So That's a tight supply-demand situation, but I think that, again, given the shale gas and now the shale oil within the U.S., there really is an argument for saying that, yes, demand will remain strong for crude oil generally, but we are not seeing it increase at this particular time. And the United States, China in particular, are looking for, and pretty much every other major country, is looking for ways to come up with alternative sources of energy, from the inefficient windmills to solar power, an industry still in its infancy in terms of making a major contribution to the production of electricity, to nuclear, which is hugely promising but under a cloud due to this very serious situation at Fukushima. There are risks to the upside on energy. I just wish we had a little less speculation in terms of some of those tracker funds, but that's out of my hands. Now, I want to emphasize that, though, just so that subscribers are very much on board in terms of what we really need to watch here in the short term. Also, on the commodity side, another run in gold before the window of seasonal opportunity closes in here. That looks like a good prospect. Now, the front runner in that move has been, or the leader, I should say, has been very much silver in recent months. And silver is up at 39.30 as I speak. And you don't need to be a psychiatrist to know that 40 is a major roundophobia psychological level. And you can just look at the chart of silver and see how it paused in the $20 region for a good lengthy period and then in the $30 region for a good lengthy period to know that we may see a pause to reflect here once silver has attained $40 or thereabouts. Of course, it doesn't always have to happen. It could go on and accelerate upwards here, and I'm sure the silver bulls would absolutely love to see that. I take a more cautious view, and that I would be somewhat surprised if we didn't see silver lose some upward momentum near that $40 range. And it is very overextended relative to its 200-day moving average. But will it get a big sharp pullback signaled by a downward dynamic, or will it just range for a while near there? The answer to that question, and I don't know which way it will be, but the answer could be important because other investors in other precious metals and may well take their cue from that silver price action. And as I've said in the past years, many years, that the better moves in precious metals occur when they're all performing and in all currencies. And we have that now for certainly for silver and increasingly for gold. So if silver can remain relatively steady in the $40 region, that would be good for gold, which is breaking out to the upside. And there's a chance we could get some quick acceleration here towards the $1,500 level or more. I'm positioned for that. I increased my gold position, gold bullion futures position, a little bit further here today. And what else to mention? I think that really covers most of it. Interesting times, Fuller Money Themes doing well for the most part. Let the good times roll on. Well, you know what we're going to get with markets. They're all over the place. Markets can do anything in the short term, but I hope you're doing well. Meanwhile, all the best.